One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
There are so many chapters in the Bible that become people's favorite chapters. And I do not say maybe that this chapter tonight is my favorite chapter, even though it's a great and marvelous chapter. You know, if I received an invitation from the Queen of England and to visit the palace, I do not know that I'd go. I really don't. I mean, the Lord had to tell me to go. But that's not the greatest invitation, if I did get one. Now we're going to find us the text. We're going right now to Matthew chapter 11. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now look out, we're coming up to a great passage here. One of the greatest men that ever lived. You see, when a man gets saved, he ought to fall out with the devil. Of course, I say this, there's no way to fall out with the devil real good until you fall in with Christ. You got to fall in with him. Now, I didn't fall out with the devil and then fall in. I fell in with Christ and then I fell out with the devil. I found somebody so much better than the devil until I thought, my, that'd be cheap stuff going back to him. Right. I mean, I swapped fathers a long time ago. I got me a lot better father. And so he said, when John had heard in the prison, you mean John's in jail? Yes, sir, he's in jail. You said, right, to go to jail for telling the truth about Jesus. He was Jesus' bulldozer. He was his road grader. That's right. He'd been getting everything fixed. By the time Jesus came along, they come arrested John, threw him in jail. Don't you know John would like to have been with Jesus? I guess it wouldn't be so bad to be in the jail, but it sure is bad when this thing happens to you right here. And I tell you, when people go to jail, there's a heap of things getting their mind. All right. He said he heard in the prison the works of Christ. He sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Do we look for another? Now, Jesus could have gotten a little rough on him. He said, he could have said, you go back and tell that backslider. You go back and tell that old boy, he ought to be. He didn't tell him that. Jesus was always so tender and so gracious and so patient. That's reading he won a lot of them too. And so he said, then Jesus answered and said unto them, go show. That's it. Now that's a real text for you boys and girls and men and women when you go home. Do you know that? Go show. But you can't go show if you don't know. You got to have a no-so before you can have a show-so. And that's your need right there. Now, you've got to come to the place where you love Jesus just like you loved and lived for the devil before you got here. And that'll be sufficient. But you see, people think you say, well, I wouldn't want to be a fanatic. Well, I've come to a place where I do want to be one. Yeah. I don't want to be anything short of a fanatic. That's right. But you know what? And I say it to my shame. I've never acted. I mean, if I could put it in the right way, I've never acted a bigger fool about Jesus as people act a fool about the devil.
That's right.
I mean, they'll just go crazy about him. I mean, they'll just get a car, steal a car. We had some boys ran away, stole eight cars. Send a check for $105, you know, for some of those fancy hubcaps that the boys had a flat and just tore the things up, you know, getting them off of there. And the man said he didn't have any insurance. One of these new doodlebugs, you know, or cars, one of these fancy deals, you know. I don't know what the thing is, you know. But anyhow, he said, are you going to do the right thing? I said, we always do the right thing. I mean, have to. We're living for Christ. I mean, there's no other way. I mean, he said, well, you're going to pay? I said, sure, we're going to pay. Come on out here. I want to talk it over with you. That's right. And a couple of them came. I got to do the right thing. told them about Jesus. That's right.
Amen.
And then gave him a check for $105. You'd say, Brother Warlock, did you have to? Don't curse the dead. But you see, you don't live for Christ doing what you have to do. You do what you ought to do.
Right. Amen.
We got a testimony to keep up.
Right.
I mean, we're never going to bow over a dime or a quarter or $100 or $1,000. Brother, God wants his people to pay their debts and to do right.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you folks, when you get back home, you straighten up all that stuff you made crooked before you left, too.
Amen.
Every last one of you. And I guarantee you, some of you got a lot of things to straighten up when you get home. I mean, just don't leave them stinking, decaying bills over there. Get on back and get your job and get them paid, see?
Amen.
God's people pay their debts. And they wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher. Fact is, they ought to run him out of town if he doesn't pay his bills and his debts. I mean, every Christian, every deacon, every person that's born again ought to maintain good works, see?
Amen.
Said, you go show John again those things which you do hear and see. I never had got that. I just never had gotten it. Did you know what he did? He said, you tell him first what you hear. And then you can tell him what you see. Faith comes with what? There you are. And I'll guarantee you, it would be better to hear the word of God than it would be just to see some preacher on television or see some fellow. If you listen to the word of God and receive the word of God, hearing, this is the way that Jesus gets. He goes through your ear. He come. Now, I know you can see a man walking and living for Christ, but what we've got to do is to hear the gospel. And I mean by that, I do not believe that it's possible for anything to substitute for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's got to be preached. The secret, one of the great secrets of the City of Refuge, is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just put her down. I hear it all over this country. They say, well, boy, we get preached to. I mean, I get up and preach. I don't care how I preach or how hard or how long. They say, well, that's nothing new to me. We're used to that. I mean, we get it all the time. I mean, this is our daily life. And here's what you'll find. People do not want gospel preaching till they get saved, and then they can't get too much of it.
Amen.
And until you get to where you like the gospel and love the word of God, you haven't got anything yet. Secret of everything is in this book right here. So he said, I want you to go now and show John the things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. Now this sounds like the City of Refuge. Anybody drinks liquor is blind. Anybody that smokes cigarettes is blind. Man came into my home. He's hooked on cigarettes, and yet he pled with me. He said, Brother Wolof, I must be delivered. I said, you can be. I said, you mean that Jesus could save you and keep you for eternity and not be able to deliver you from a little bitty cigarette? I said, well, of course he'll deliver you from it. He certainly will. I went in a drunkard's home. You know, for 2 years he'd maintained a real testimony except for one thing down in Vidor, Texas. And he was outstanding testimony of deliverance from liquor. And down he went. And the pastor, one of these loving, wonderful men of God, he drove and drove and drove until he found him. And he found him in a motel room, and he took him like he would a little baby and hauled him home. While even the children were saying, Mother, get a divorce, get rid of him, kick him out! And the preacher was loving and leading and praying and stayed with him all night long. All night long. Never did leave him, just stayed with him and nursed him back to where he could think with his mind. And he said, Preacher, I want you to go see him with me. And I said, I'll do it. After the afternoon service, we drove over that lovely home, beautiful home. Walked inside. He was sitting there and he said, Brother Olaf, I've been a disappointment to my pastor, but he stayed with me. I've been a disappointment to Jesus. I've been a disappointment, I know, to my church. And I said to him, what do you have in that pocket right there? I said, that's the key to your deliverance right there. Most people don't realize that. An alcoholic's got to come free and loose. I would never trust an alcoholic as long as he smokes cigarettes.
Right.
Never. I'll bound you, 99 times out of 100, he'll go back to his bottle unless he gives up the poison in this pocket right here.
Well, he said, those are cigarettes. I said, son, I said, my dear man, one of these big machinery operators, you know, I said, do you realize that those have to go? He said, I'd like for them to go.
And you know what? In a little bit, he showed up at church, and the pocket was empty. And when the invitation was given, down he came. And he said, "Brother Wolof, never again will I touch a cigarette. I've seen the tie-in. I've seen the tie-in." You can just put it down, fellas. We are in this work 24 hours a day. And there's only one way that God's going to deliver you, and that's going to be a complete job. Amen. He doesn't halfway build his house. He'll put everything in it that needs to be put in it.
Amen.
He'll set you free. The Bible said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Didn't say half free or nearly free. He'll set you free. And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Blind receive their sight. People come here blind. They're blind. Lame walk. And people come in here limping. People come in here tired out, wore out. The lepers are cleansed. You know what that is? That's dirty flesh. Dirty flesh. You know, we got a notion running loose in the country today that there are two things that you can't get delivered from. And I'd like to set you straight. One of them is dope addiction. And then the other sin is homosexuality. And of course, that is the number one sin of the world just before Jesus comes. And we're there now. And if you read my letters, if you went to the jails where I do, and if you read the letters from the penitentiaries and from the reform schools, I'll guarantee you, you'll find that the prevailing sin today, old Sodom is here again, see? I'll guarantee you we're living in Gomorrah and Sodom again. And brother, it's the thing that tears up people's minds and leaves. Listen, the two end time sins are going to be, and they're tied together, the two end time sins will be television and homosexuality. Hey, y'all go ahead and breathe normally, because I'll guarantee you this is the truth. Television is going to warp the mind, and homosexuality is going to completely devour the flesh. And man is going to be sunk in his own quagmire and his own invention. You watch and see. And we're going to call it progress. And here's what's happening. Modernism and the false prophets or preachers of this day, because they have no remedy for either, are saying like the doctors say when you have some sort of a heart attack or incurable disease, you're going to have to learn to live with it. You can't live with sin. It's just like somebody, there's a prevalent saying crossing the country, and all we need to dig in after these bywords and semi-profanity, people say, "My goodness." Why, you lied. You don't have any goodness. Why didn't you tell the truth and say, "My badness"?
Yeah.
But the flesh is too proud to say, "Tell the truth." Yeah. No, sir. So that's... And just like my daddy, and bless his heart, he didn't know any better because preachers didn't tell him. One of his words was, "The great Redeemer." And he'd be so disgusted with me. Listen, he's using Jesus' name in vain. And then something else. My aunt would always use, "Well, the great I am." Brother, that's Jesus' name. You better, when you say "the great I am," you better be on your knees or in reverence to God.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. You better be honoring God. You better not be trifling with God. No, the devil's got so many things, and he's pulled the wool over the eyes of God's people. And so he said, "I want you to tell them something. Go show them and tell them. Blind receive their sight. Lame walk. Lepers are cleansed." You know what a leper is? Jesus cleansed the lepers. It's a disease of the flesh. You know what cancer is? Disease of the flesh. It's rotten flesh. That's what it is. And when you eat rotten food, you'll have rotten flesh. I mean, everybody knows that. When you drink rotten drinks, you'll have rotten flesh. I mean, whatever you put in your system that's rotten, it'll make you rotten on the inside. Of course, Mother Nature will do her best to sack it up and block it out and run it out and sweat it out. But, I mean, she can't get rid of all of it. You just keep feeding it down there, and some of it's going to stay. And then that goes. So he said, "The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up." And notice, the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's unusual. But that's Jesus. He was so unusual. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. But you know, I've got to go to my text. It's found in the 28th verse. This is the greatest invitation in the entire Bible, right here. This is the one that old Dr. Charles Fuller quoted so many times before he went home to be with the Lord. "Come unto me." He didn't say, "Come to my secretary." He didn't say, "Come to one of my aides."
He didn't say, come to my church. He didn't say, come to the baptismal waters. He didn't say, come to do better. He didn't say, come to some big organization. He said, come to me. And brother, if you want what he's fixing to offer tonight and everybody needs it, you're going to have to come to him to get it. And I'll tell you, if ever I've seen a tired bunch of people, it's alcoholics and narcotic addicts when they come walking or dragging in. I mean, they're tired. They're tired physically, they're tired mentally, they're tired out. I mean, they're dead in trespasses and sin. If you want to see somebody that's tired, you watch a man after he spends all he's got in righteous living. I'm just going to take it for granted. As long as a man will show up to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's hope for him. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye. You know, one of the things about this invitation, it includes so many people. And when you put the word A-double-L, that means just not anybody left out. And he said, God is not willing that one should perish, but at A-double-L, all should come to repentance. And brother, the only way you'll keep from perishing is to come to repentance. And I believe one of the great doctrines that needs to be preached today is repentance. I believe we're going to have to literally repent of our sin and ask God to forgive us and cleanse us and show some godly sorrow for sin. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now then, when you get like that, you're ready to accept God's mercy. You can't get a man. That's the reason it's hard to get a man. That, for instance, one of the hardest fellows we ever get delivered is a man that's drawing a pension. If he's getting $300, $400, $500 a month, you know, or $200 a month, I mean, what he'll do, as he usually do, he'll save it up while he's here. And when he gets a pretty good nest egg, he said, man, I could stay drunk for 30 days on that. See? Never give a dime to the work here, which I think is a crime. I really do. You know, oh, there's so many things I could say, but one of the things you've got to learn if you get saved, folks, you've got to learn to give. You'll never learn to live till you learn to give. Never will. And I tell you what, you might keep the victory by not supporting the work that God got you saved through, but you'll not get the blessing God has in store for you. And I tell you what, I believe, I mean, if I was out in the Corpus Christi Bay and my old boat had gone down like it did one night over yonder to air base, I mean, over the bay, darkest pitch, and I was alone. But I tell you, I was really anxious to get to the shore. And I started swimming, the little boat going under, and all the stuff was floating, and I wasn't worried about anything except me. I wanted to get to the shore, and I started swimming. But I tell you one thing, if I'd have just kind of finally gone under, and all of a sudden, my old fishing buddy, I mean, if he'd just come cruising along the boat and reached out and, not by the hair of the head, I don't think he'd found enough, but if he could have reached down and got me by my hand and got me on the bow of the boat and pumped the water out, and I came to, and I said, am I in heaven, Johnny? He said, no, you got some more work to do down here. I found you about to drown, and you suppose I'd kick him or shoot him or hurt him? No. Listen, I might love him better. He saved me. I don't understand how people could let a rescue boat come by and save them from drowning and not do something for the man who operated the rescue boat. I'm not begging. I'm just simply saying, you're cheating yourself. We're going to make it whether you ever do a dime's work or not. I mean, I promise you that, see? Thank God our ministry doesn't depend on a bunch of ingrates. Our ministry depends on God and the people that love God. But I tell you, you'd be a lot better off. A lot of people wonder why the Lord blesses me and Brother John and some of the rest of us. We just give what we got back in the work, that's all. I don't brag about it. It wasn't mine to start with. I didn't have a buffalo nickel in my pocket that I remember when God called me to preach. I mean, what did I have? I got more than I've ever had, see? And yet, the way to keep it is recognize that none of it belongs to you, not a bit of it. I went home and, you know, my wife had a big old deal sitting up there, you know, and of course, she always gets a card that says a lot of pretty things, you know. I don't know, you know, just a whole lot of things. And I read it, and then, but you know what I enjoyed? I saw a little old piece of paper that had her name signed to it, Mrs. L.L. Roloff, and it said $100. And I said, amen. Now this, I mean, now, I looked, I said, that's my sweetheart right there. See, I mean, oh, you'd say you're too money-minded. No, I'm not going to spend a dime of it for me. I wanted to use it for the work. What are we going to say as we close the message? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. And dear friends, I'd like to remind you, you don't get it at the liquor store. You can't find it at the drugstore. You don't find it on the operating table. And you don't find it on the couch listening to some psychiatrist tell you to forget the Bible and don't pray, brother. You're going to find it when you get to Jesus.
Amen.
No other place to get that kind of rest. That's all I kind of want. I don't want this snowball rest.
Amen.
I don't want this stuff you have to drink out of a bottle. I don't want this stuff comes out of a sharp needle. I don't want this stuff that makes you feel worse when you wake up than you did before you got it. Oh, listen, dear friends. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. What an invitation. And yet, did you know most people have rejected it? I'll guarantee you, more people will go to sleep tonight on man-made sleeping pills than on this verse right here. To me, that's a tragedy, Patty. It's a tragedy. You think of the people that Jesus said, and he told them all to come. Everybody can come, the rich and the poor, the president and the king and queen, and all the ditch diggers and drunkards and dopeheads. Come on, all of you. And I'll put you to sleep tonight. Thank God for the privilege. Oh, I remember the time when my little old tired, weary body would come a dragging in after a busy day of playing, and my face is dirty, and my feet is dirty, and my little old clothes is dirty, and my mother would wash me and bathe me and lay me in her arms and rock me many times on an old straight chair, but it just as smooth as a rocker. For about 2 minutes, my eyes would close. Talk about rest. My mother said, I love you dirt and all.
Yeah.
Dear friend, she said, you come get in my arms, give you some rest. Jesus is saying with those outstretched arms of love, nails, scarred hands, drunkards, dope addicts, men and women up and out and down and out, come on, all of you, and I'll give you rest. And the tragedy is, and people will pass Jesus up and pass Calvary up and Golgotha up and walk in a drugstore and say, as they pull out the billfold, give me $15 worth of rest. And yet you'll be tired of when you get through taking the filth and you were. Walk in a liquor store and say to some old fat saloon keeper with his big Cadillac or Lincoln Continental sitting out there by the curb, I want about $20 worth of fun. Wake up in the jail in the morning, the fun's all gone. Somebody said you're charged with drunken driving. Your license is going to be, you can't drive no more. About the best you can do is to walk or get a bicycle. Brother, that's the devil's fun for you. You better listen to me tonight. Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you, he said. Learn of me. Learn of me. That's after you come, you see, and get your rest. He said, now come and let's learn together. I want to teach you something, for my yoke is easy. Oh, listen, when I talked to a boy locked up in the jail, he said, my yoke is hard. I said, mine is easy. Mine is easy. Talked to the men in jail, and all of them, I said the other night, how many of you want to go home with me tonight? Hold up your hand. And every hand went up and waved those fingers. Their yoke is hard and mine is easy. Don't talk to me, dear friend. Oh, you watch that old drunkard stagger down to a weed patch tonight on a cold night and wake up in the morning frostbitten. His yoke is hard.
Yeah.
Brother, his burden's not light. My yoke is easy. Burden's light. Why, it's the best life in the world to live.
Yeah.
Why, and the best is yet to be. Yeah. Think about one of these days. I walk through those pearly gates and my unworthy feet in this redeemed body that God's preparing for me walks down those golden streets. I tell you, I believe one foot will holler hallelujah, another will holler amen, and nine to glory. Yes, sir. Think of that. It won't be long.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.